Members of the public who've just joined this electronic meeting of the Camden Council Local Planning Panel. My name's Stuart McDonald and I'm the chair of today's panel meeting. And I'll introduce the remainder of the panel in a moment. I'll just go through some preliminaries. So I'll declare this meeting open for the 20th of October 2020. This meeting is being audio recorded. It's not being webcast due to the current COVID restrictions. I'll just remind everybody that nobody has any authorisation to record this other than the official recording of the meeting. So notwithstanding that we are having a virtual meeting today, electronically it is still formally a public meeting of the panel, and we're considering two development applications today. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land on which we meet respectively and pay our respects to elders past and present. I'd like to acknowledge that there are no apologies today. We have a full panel. As I said, my name is Stuart McDonald. The other panel members today, Debbie Dubry, who is a community member, Sue Francis, who's an independent expert, and Mary Lynn Taylor, who is an independent expert. And the panel is being assisted by a number of council officers today as well. I'm going to ask for disclosures of interest from each of the panel members, and I'll lead off. I have a conflict to declare in relation to item one, to do with 1 Gregory Hills Drive, Gledswood Hill, item 1DA on the panel today. And that conflict arises from the fact that the company for which I work acted as an objector, or on behalf of an objector, Sekasui House, associated with the original retail development of the land. I've taken no part in this matter to date and will take no part in this matter today, and Ms. Francis will be taking over the chairing of that item, which we'll get to in a moment. And then I'll come back to the meeting following that. Do any other panel members have any conflicts of interest to declare?
Mary Lynn Taylor here, no.
Thank you.
Sue Francis, no conflict.
And Deb Dubry, you're on mute.
No conflict.
Thank you. And I'll just inform the meeting that each of the panel members, all four of us respectively, have made signed declarations confirming our positions as well, which become part of the record of proceedings. So we'll be hearing representations from four speakers today. Could I just ask that if you are not presenting to the panel, that you remain on mute. That's not directed only at the members of the public that will be speaking to, but that's for all of us, including myself. So when not speaking, please place yourself on mute. The speakers we have today are on item number one, which is Gregory Hills Drive, Gledswood Hills, is Mairead Hawes, who I see is online. So we'll hear from Mairead soon. The three other speakers are all in relation to the second item on the agenda today, which is DA 2019-8441, which is for an intensive plant agriculture hydroponics farm and pivot irrigation system associated earthworks and construction works, and that is the DA at Cobbity. And the three speakers are Mr. David Head, Ms. Heather Corleonis, I hope I've pronounced that correctly, and Kirsty Ferguson. And I see all three of those speakers are also online. So we have all four who have registered to speak. The protocol for the operation of the panel is that we hear from each of the speakers in respect to each of the matters, and then the panel will adjourn following receipt of those addresses. We may have questions of the speakers, and we may ask council officers to respond to issues that arise as well. But once that, once those presentations and associated questioning has completed, then the panel will adjourn and the public meeting will be completed, and the panel will determine its position in relation to the two development matters. I should inform the speakers that the panel has the benefit of having the assessment reports that have been prepared by the council's professional officers in relation to both DAs. We've read those reports. We've also had the benefit of briefings, well, in my case, of one briefing in relation to the two DA matters, including familiarity with the site circumstances as well as the development application themselves. So we are armed with quite a bit of knowledge, but we are certainly interested to hear from the speakers. So I'll now, I think I'm going to be put in the waiting room. Is that what you're intending to do, Deb? Thank you. I'll now be put in the waiting room while item one is dealt with. So I'll exit and hand it over to Sue Francis. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stuart. So the first item we have for consideration on the agenda today is the Gledwoods Hill matter, to use an approved storage premises. We have only one speaker, that's Ms. Hawes. Are you there, Ms. Hawes? Are you on mute?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Do you want to make any representation to the panel?
Just briefly, Madam Chair. So thank you for the opportunity to address you today. My name is Mairead Hawes, and I'm a town planning consultant engaged by the landowner to assist with this proposed development. Of note, I raise no issue with the recommendation or the draft conditions of consent as identified in the agenda. And I'm really just here to answer any questions you may have or provide any clarification that may assist in the determination if you need it.
Thank you very much for that, Mairead. Panel members, do you have any questions of the applicant's expert?
No, thank you.
Mairead and Taylor, no. Debbie?
No, not at all.
Okay. I'm fine. Fantastic. Thank you very much, Mairead. What we will do is we'll move on to the second item when we bring Stuart back into the room, and then we'll determine this application at the end of the matter. Thank you, and meeting. Thank you very much. So can we bring Stuart back, please, for item two? If he thought he was going to make a cup of coffee, he was wrong.
That was quick.
No mucking around, Chair.
All right, thank you. We'll now move on to item number two. Thank you, Sue, for chairing that matter. You may have mentioned it to the meeting. I failed to mention it, but each of the speakers has 4 minutes. If I could just remind people to try and speak to the 4 minute limit. And the first speaker is Mr. David Head.
Can all of you hear me there now?
Can.
Yes, thank you, David.
All right. Well, thank you very much for allowing us to speak. I know there's a couple of others there that are also very passionate about this issue. What I will say is, Ange and I, wife and I, are the owners of 70 Cuttigal Road, And as power of attorney, I'm also representing my 90-year-old mother, Mrs. Junehead, who is 86 Cut Hill Road. So we're adjoining neighbours of the property subject to the DA. And we support the recommendation to refuse this DA. Originally, we submitted our concerns as far back as April 2018, and that was based on poultry sheds that were involving 500 to 600,000 poultry birds, traffic, dust, noise, odour, chemicals, contamination of the creek. Effectively, this wasn't just a rural enterprise. This was a factory. And quite honestly, this proposal is not much better. This is effectively a series of large-scale hydroponic sheds, removal of trees to accommodate pivot irrigators, and also packing sheds and other large sheds for equipment and supplies. Yeah, it's quite disturbing for us. But we've owned this land. We actually owned this land back through the 60s and the 90s, and we know it well. And it's got quite substantial native trees, she-oaks along Cobbity Creek, and a native eucalypt forest right in the middle. Native grasses, never been cropped. Pastures good for cattle and horse breeding, and other than a few car bodies left by a previous owner, it's never been contaminated by chemicals or anything else. But this is not prime intensive agricultural land. If it was, we would have done it. The land lacks access and water. You can't count on the dams. The Cobbity Creek is inanimate, rarely has water. Bore water has proven to be salty, and that leaves only Sydney water, surely which should only be used for stock and domestic, not for irrigation. The applicant has grandly told me that he paid over $5 million for this 75 to 80 acres, but there's no way an agricultural enterprise can commercially survive with such capital costs on such small acreage with no significant water, which leads one to query, what's the ultimate objective? But it's by far the biggest immediate issue for our family is the limited access through the right-of-way right beside my mother's house. 5,000 to 6,000 trucks just simply carrying in 70,000 to 80,000 tonnes of fill right past mum's back door. And that's just nonsensical. The applicant continually avoided contact with me. And I repeatedly asked him to by phone and in person to not bother mum, please, as I'm power of attorney and please contact me, but he continued to approach her requesting her to sign documents on the spot. He even said to me on one occasion, your mother's just a silly old lady and has no idea what she's talking about. And he eventually instructed his town planner back in March this year to seek our written approval to his access proposal. I managed to get them to confirm certain concessions, such as no trees to be removed, single lane asphalt road, controlled stormwater direction on a sketch. But I continued to avoid sending a letter because I just knew the effect that it would probably have in the whole thing. When I told them that, though, I was quite surprised because he came back and said, oh, Mr. Raffaello just said, don't worry about David Hennany's letter. We'll get around it by other means. And when I queried that, he said, oh, no, I don't know. Mr. Raffaello only seemed confident that he could get around the consent letter by other means. And then when I heard just recently that about this consent letter that was attached to the DA, I was absolutely surprised. And also was mum. She vaguely remembers Mr. Raffaello coming to her back door, chatting all buddy-buddy about how he realised his plans were upsetting everybody and assuring her that he'd dramatically reduced his proposal and requesting her to sign a piece of paper so he could just get on with it. Mum is extraordinarily embarrassed that she has been duped in such a way. The applicant knows that he bought a simple pastoral block with very close by neighbours, adjacent and overlooking, and limited by small right-of-way access, and he unfortunately needs to admit that this is just not the property that will suit such an intensive operation. If one were looking to establish a poultry farm, or in this case now, large hydroponics, surely one would seek acreage well clear of neighbouring houses, not on flood-prone land, reasonably flat and level, with access to substantial natural water via creek, river, bore, and with proper water licences, not in the middle of historic Cobbity. To we need to ask the question, why would somebody buy a substantial few acres on the edge of Cobbetty Township, clear all the trees, and spend millions on raising the height of the land above the floodplain? Are we looking at land banking, or where is it coming from? And with absolutely no care for the amenity of others. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Head. I think your timing was pretty much spot on. Thank you very much. Does anyone, any panel members have any questions of Mr. Head?
No, thank you.
No. No, I'm getting shakes of the head all around there, Mr. Head. I'm juggling looking at a screen and listening out to people at the same time, but it doesn't look like there's any questions for you. So thank you for your presentation. The second speaker is Heather Corleanis. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, and I apologise if I am. Heather, over to you.
Oh, hello. Yes, it's Heather Corleanis, and it's fine. I'm okay with however it's pronounced. I just want to say thank you for letting me have the opportunity to speak. I'm speaking from the perspective of the trucks, and I'm glad that you have refused, or that you recommend refusal of this DA. I'm a resident of Cobbetty, and I live on Cobbetty Road, about seven houses back from the corner of Cuthill Road. And so I'm very much aware of all the trucks that travel down Cobbetty Road and turn into Cuthill Road, which I can hear and see from the front and from the backyard. And it has quite a detrimental effect on me and on the surrounding community. A lot of the trucks don't travel at legal speed along Cobbetty Road or Cuthill Road. And the braking and gear changes, they're really disruptive, particularly for us who do live close to the corner of Cuthill Road and Cobbetty Road. I also would like to make comment about, there are 3 points in the agenda that I've sort of looked at. One was section 212 that was titled acoustic amenity, where any consent, and I'm quoting this, conditions issued with this DA would not be enforceable. That indicates to me that if this proposal was accepted, the truck numbers could just grow and affect the community even more than what they do now. Then the second point was section 2.8, traffic management. Council's latest traffic survey in Cuthill Road showed an average of 1,347 vehicles a day. 85% are light and 15% were heavy traffic. I would like to dispute that those percentages as a ratio, because on many days the trucks are numerous and the noise is really disruptive. This morning I counted 15 trucks between 10:30 and 11 a.m. that entered or left Cuthill Road. So over an 8-hour day, that would equate to an extra 40 trucks per day. I do accept that this doesn't always happen every day, but there's certainly a level of consistency. And also the trucks do not stick exclusively to the required hours either. Many times they travel through the night or very early morning. They're around when everybody else thinks they've gone to sleep. Point three was clause 7.4 on earthworks, that a proposal of 2 deliveries per hour, that equates to 4 truck movements per hour. Even if this were to be adhered to, it just adds to the truck numbers that the residents of Cobbetty Road now live with. There's no quietness anymore, excepting for an odd pocket or two. I'm asking Council to maintain its refusal stance for this application, because we don't need any increase in noise, we don't need the speed to remain, we don't need pollution, which then accumulates in ill health, and we certainly don't need any more accidents having had the one we've already had. Nor do we need the increased inconvenience that occurs due to the required road maintenance that will be necessary, and then the costs that are incurred to us through our rates. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Any questions of Heather from panel members? No. Getting the shake of a head again from all panel members. Thanks, Heather. And I don't have any questions either. Thank you. And the third speaker is Kirsty Ferguson.
Oh, hi, sorry, it's Kirsty. Can you hear me?
Thanks, Kirsty. Yes, we can hear you.
I'm going to set a timer because I do tend to talk. So
you're showing great discipline there.
Well, again, look, thank you very much for allowing me and, of course, the others to talk today. We really do appreciate it. And, look, we appreciate that everybody is entitled to make a living, but we feel that, obviously, an application of this intensive type just does not fit into our community. I'm at 66 Cut Hill Road, so, again, border the proposal. And, of course, I also support the council's declining the development. So basically, look, I've lived here for about 8 years with my husband and 3 kids. And basically, we moved here because it's peaceful, it's quiet, close to school, close to shops, close to work, but you kind of still feel that you're miles from anywhere, like it's your little pocket of peace and quiet. And I guess there are 3 main things, which I know have been touched on by other people, that I would like to put through that are, I guess, I really feel impacts me and my family, and I'm sure others, is our lifestyle, definitely the trucks, and the environment as well. So lifestyle, our bedroom basically looks onto that side fence, which is 240 metres from our house, which is where all of those sheds would be, which is where the initial, obviously, chicken sheds were going to be, which has nothing to do with this, I guess. I guess we're very concerned that why do they need to build it up so high when initially the hydroponics was fine for them to be on unlevel land? Like, why can't they just put it where it is now? So that also increases the visual impact. There's the noise of people, of the, I guess, constant probably fans. There's the light. We lose our privacy. We've got trucks coming and going. My daughter's trying to ride her horse with the compression braking, with the beeping of the trucks reversing. You know, it becomes dangerous. My children can't even enjoy their backyard. I know they're talking about putting trees there to screen it, but, like, how tall are these trees going to be and how close are they going to be to each other? So for me, it's my lifestyle that's completely changing with this being here. For the community, the trucks, I totally agree. The last few years, and I know this is completely separate to this development, but the number of trucks starting at 2 o'clock in the morning is ridiculous. And Steve and I calculated that to bring in this much fuel, you're looking at over 110,000 truck movements in the next 12 months alone, on top of everything else. They're, you know, bringing in their produce, removing their produce, workers, et cetera, just to elevate it. Cut Hill Road does not have, like, it's got trees on both sides. There's no shoulder. There's kids walking home from school. It is not safe to have that many trucks barreling down the road and all the compression braking. How do we know their operations of hours are going to be what they said? We can't guarantee that. And how do you then enforce that? I'm really worried about going past 2 schools. There's MacArthur Anglican, there's Cobbity School, and there's a preschool. As, you know, Heather said, we've already lost one life. So, you know, it's just starting to get to the point where it's ridiculous. The environment is another thing. Removing all of these trees, and yes, putting up shade trees or trees as a barrier, but I literally, and I can quote from it, I literally just the other day got Caring for Cobbity Hills, a guide for landowners, in my letterbox, and it talks about Cobbity Hills being important because, and I know I'm getting close to my 4 minutes, because basically it says, and I can quote from it, but it's basically saying it's a significant corridor that supports an abundant biodiversity of native plants and animals. It contains the Cumberland Plain woodland, which is vegetation community listed as critically endangered under the New South Wales Biodiversity Conservation Act, and it goes on and on. So I've literally just got this in my letterbox, and we're talking about destroying all these trees, plus also the water, which is obviously going to come from Sydney Water, will obviously contain pesticides, fertilisers, and that will also go into Cobbity Creek. I can't see how that's not going to happen. I could keep going, but I won't, because you don't want to hear me talk anymore. But yeah, look, I really, really do appreciate you listening to the residents, and I guess how it not only impacts us, but also the wider community as well.
Good. Thanks, Kirsty. You packed a lot into your time, so thanks for that. Any questions of Kirsty from any panel members? I'm getting the same response again. So thank you very much to the three speakers in relation to this matter. As I said at the start of the meeting, we will now adjourn. So we'll close the public part of the meeting to consider our position or the panel's position in relation to the two development matters. And the panel's decision will be published on the council's website within, what is the protocol? If I could just have confirmation.
48 hours, sure.
48 hours, good, thank you, yes. So thanks again to everyone. So I'll call this part of the public meeting closed. Thank you.